Blog Talk Radio.
Family, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, all of those listeners, I would like to always start my show as usual just by thanking you for tuning in and making the show become what it is today. Truly, every success, first, we have to accredit it to our divine Lord and Savior that allows these things to be possible, but we also have to thank each and every one of you that tune in faithfully to allow us to continue to do what we do. And so I would just like to once again say thank you. Listen, welcome to another Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey, and we have something to talk about today. Now, understand this. When we're talking on some of the topics that we're dealing with, when we begin discussing many of the issues that we're talking about, it may be unpopular. As a matter of fact, it may become uncomfortable at times. But we have to step away from this comfortable sense of operating within our spirituality, because the reality is the world is not always operate within your comfort zone. If you think about it, when you're being pushed and primed, or when you're developing, sometimes you get pushed into a place that just feels uncomfortable. And in these places of discomfort, we'll find that those are the places that God uses mostly for our growth. I'm hoping on today that this show has like really helped people in different ways. I'm praying that regardless of the subject matter that we might talk about, that we find ourselves in a place where we can begin to discuss things and just look at the world from a different perspective. Prayerfully is not from a perspective of ourselves, but we begin to look at things from the eyesight of God and question some of those things that don't line up with what His Word says. So many people walk around claiming to be Christian and spiritual and titles of grandiose religiosity, but the reality is when you look at the essence of the person, you'll find that that's very little substance. And so when we find ourselves in these situations, we're able to go right to the Word of God, and it teaches us exactly what we should know and how we're to operate and how we are to bring spiritual harmony to our lives. So with that being said, I'm praying that this platform, this worldwide platform that we use, is able to reach those of our listeners in a capacity that allow you to really step outside of that box. I know you used to being in this type of church or functioning in this type of mold, but the reality is, what does the Word say? What does God say? What is His will for us? If we get used to operating according to man, then we'll miss when God is calling. And essentially, that's the whole premise behind this platform. We'd like to thank our executive producer, Brother James Brown, for providing us this opportunity to continuously share. And also, I just want to pause right here because before we go any further, before we actually go into the prayer, got to get something off of my heart. You know, as a host of the show, I think I can take an opportunity to use some host privileges to just deal with certain things. It has come to my attention, both on my in my sermons, or whether we're dealing with things from my life coaching page, or even this show, that there's some stolen content. I know exactly who's doing it. I really even have a suspicion. I've, as they preachers would say, a sneaky suspicion as to why. And truthfully, it caused me a lot of anguish in my spirit. I would like to thank God for my better half. Thank you, Danielle, for allowing me to just really know you. And I bless the Lord that you was able to speak into my spirit and you was to, you know, quell that anger on the inside. But one of the things that she challenged me to do was look at the intentions of my heart, examine my heart. Why are we here? We are here for the sole purpose of helping other people, you know, in their walk, their Christian walk, their journeys. We want to help people get to a platform and a place where you have spiritual harmony with God, that you're able to actually submit to his will, design, desire, and purpose for your life. And so if we're expounding principles and somebody happens to take these principles and expound with them on their radio show, even if their radio show is similar to ours or in name, or even if they some type of way take some of the principles and even quote them verbatim, we have to examine what's our heart. My heart is not to build a name for myself. My heart is not to be here for any shape, form, or fashion other than to serve the Lord. The disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, there's some guys over there preaching just like us. And I'm paraphrasing this, but Jesus pretty much told them, look, if they're not against us, they must be for us. Leave them alone. So if other people are out spreading the word, even if they're spreading the word that you spread, spreading the word that we spread, then my intention is to leave them be, because the true intentions of their heart is between them and God. I pray that God begin to reveal your purpose to you, because, and just in case you're listening, so that you will know what distinctively God is telling you to do with your platform, with your ministry. But if God is telling you to continue to usurp the material from this ministry, from this mode, this platform, well, amen, it must be because he intends for it to be reproduced. Last but not least, I've learned that the highest form of flattery is imitation. And so when we're imitated, I really should take this moment to say thank you for the compliment and the flattery. But listen, moving forward, now that we got that off our chest, I just want to deal with something today. It's been on my heart. It's been on my mind. I know I'm probably not going to be able to deal with the whole subject on today because it's so big. I might have to come back and do another one of these toxic relationships, part three. So Brother James Brown, go ahead and write that down, because I already know that we're going to have to do a three-part to this. So beginning next month, we're going to open the month up with part three and use a different scripture. So let us just go before the throne of grace before we just go any further. I just need to invite God into this place. I need him to check my heart, deal with my mind. And I also want the blessings of the Lord to just fall fresh on every single endeavor that we pursue. Let us bow. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I need you. I need you to deal with my heart, deal with my mind. Help me to continually see the vision and the mission that you've pressed into my spirit, that you've called me with the high calling and responsibility that you placed upon my life. And then all of those under the sound of my weak voice, will you allow them to hear? Will you allow them to receive something that is beneficial for their spiritual growth and uplifting? Will you right now create in us a clean heart, O God, that we might not sin against thee? Will you renew in us an upright spirit, Lord? Come nigh unto us. Incline your ear to your servant's prayer, Lord, that you might come closer to us as we reach out to you. Oh God, it is right now in the name of Jesus, we ask that you to move in a supernatural way in all the lives of the listeners right now. Oh God, would you just right now begin to amass new blessings and allow them to see new horizons? Will you right now lift their gaze, amen, above the circumstances and trials that vexes them, but allow them to lift their eyes to the hills from whence come their help, knowing that all their help comes, oh God, from you. We trust you. We believe you, and we declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. So listen, I'm sorry this week for the long preamble, but there are some things that we just had to get out in the open, get off of our chest. As a human person that goes through life, you know, I find myself burdened by some of the same things, and I just, you know, I just need to take a minute and give a checkup from the neck up. Will you pray for me? Amen. I need you to pray for me too. Here's another thing too. If you're out there listening and you would like to be a guest on this show, please feel free to reach out to me. I would love to have you. I would love to be able to share this platform so that we can basically be able to use different gifts and different perspectives and ideas so we can further this show to minister to different people in different ways. If you feel so inclined, write this down. My number directly to me, 313-221-7600. That's 313-221-7600. You will reach me directly. I'm Jose Dorsey. Let's go a little bit further. Last week we were talking about toxic relationships, and we used the context of Amos 3:3 when the Bible says, "How can two walk together except they agree?" One of the things that we find is that when we have toxic relationships, generally it's because someone does not agree. Someone does not agree. I don't think nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, today I want to be in a toxic relationship. Today I want to be mistreated. Today I want to be emotionally abused. Today I want to be with someone that continually poisons me emotionally or abuses me physically or spiritually or any other kind of way. I don't think nobody ever just wants to enter into that kind of relationship, but we still find ourselves dealing with that. I think if there's any other subject that we deal with when we're life coaching at Tri-Scale Life Coaching, is that people are involved in these toxic relationships. And so while we see this growth spurt of these toxic relationships, why is there not an outcry from the Christian community? Why are we not dealing with that? How about dealing with like certain things that happen in a church? What about sexual situations that happen right in a church? Why are we not crying out against that? How come we're not saying like, hey, you've crossed the line, or hey, calling foul when certain things are happening? Instead, it seems like we're sweeping things under the carpet, or we're not trying to address them head on. Well, over here, theologically speaking, we're going to address those situations head on. I cannot, as great of a man as Bishop Eddie Long was, I cannot support the dysfunction that he brought to his ministry. I can pray for him as a person, but we still have to deal with the certain issues as a Christian community. The fact that these little boys were abused, these little boys, and they have to go through a life of trauma because of things that happened to them. Well, if we can even look and see that these physical abuses are wrong and the trauma that they have, we also need to take into consideration the abuses and trauma that happens when we are in emotionally abusive relationships or toxic relationships. It doesn't always have to be abusive in order for it to be toxic. Truthfully, sometimes people just don't work. They just don't work. They don't work together. One of the relationships that I was thinking about was David and Jonathan in the Bible. And I was thinking about how, not David and Jonathan, I'm sorry, David and Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. He was so jealous of David because the people chanted his name. The people said, you know, he killed this thousands, but here it is, David killed this 10,000s. So, you know, when you deal with toxic relationships, you understand that there is something that causes enmity between these two people. And so what caused the enmity between Saul and David was the fact that he was jealous of David. Saul was insanely jealous of David, so much so that he even sought to kill him various times. There are people around you that are jealous of you. They don't know how to deal with you. They don't know how to accept you. There's something about the presence of the Lord that is so strong upon you. There's something about you that they really want to destroy. And so today, as we talk about toxic relationships, I really want to focus in on narcissism. We're not talking about narcissism, but narcissism is affecting many of our lives. And if you are involved with a narcissist, I want to say, you know, I'm praying for you. Seriously, I'm praying for you, because they say the only way or the best way to deal with a narcissist is to run. I have experience dealing with a narcissist. I was married to a narcissist for 5 years, and you almost never know the narcissist. You almost never know them. They have so many different identities dealing with, depending on which situation that they're dealing with, who they're dealing with, who they're talking to. My narcissist, my ex-wife, was such a narcissist that she would have me thinking that I was crazy at the end of the day. He would tell so many lies and create so much havoc in my life, and then turn around and tell everybody that I was the bad guy. And that's just the way it operates. So how do you identify it? Like, what? First of all, what is a narcissist? A narcissist is generally, it's really tough to actually say what a narcissist is outside of saying that it's a personality disorder, a NPD, or it's called a narcissist personality disorder. Exactly. So, but it seems like it's more succinct, if you will, for us to understand what are the symptoms of narcissism rather than it is to say what a narcissist is. Because as you're describing the actual narcissist, you really, it's hard to describe what a narcissist is without dealing with the symptoms. Now, as you start listening to some of these things, you'll begin to see some of this in your relationships. Now, just because a person exhibits some of these characteristics and factors does not mean that they are particularly a narcissist. They might have some narcissistic tendencies. And so I don't think that I was dealing with a narcissistic tendency. I think I was dealing with a narcissist. Well, the text that I chose to extrapolate on today was dealing with 1 Kings 21, beginning with actually verse 5. And it goes all the way down to the 16th verse. I'm not going to read all of that, but I will tell you kind of the story of Naboth. Naboth had this vineyard that King Ahab, the king of Israel, desired to have. He went to Naboth and he asked him if he could buy that vineyard from him. He just was a nice vineyard. He desired to have it. It was just so nice. He liked the way Naboth kept it, and it was just so eloquent to look at. And so, much to his surprise, Naboth declined his offer. That vineyard had been in his family. It was like an heirloom, if you will, that piece of property, that land, and he just didn't want to sell it. It had sentimental value to Naboth. So Ahab went back to his wife. He was angry, matter of fact. He didn't know how to deal with the fact that this man had told him no. Here he is, he's King Ahab. He told him no. And so Jezebel, his wife, is what I want to deal with. Jezebel, his wife, I believe that if I could pinpoint almost anyone other than Saul that I would associate narcissistic tendencies with, it would probably be Jezebel. Jezebel, because Jezebel, there was something about her that not only was she the queen, now here it is, she's in a position of grandeur, but her mindset elevated herself in her own mind above her current position of grandeur. So she had this delusion as if like she was Miss Thing. You couldn't go against anything that she said. She perverted the prophets, and she brought a great deal of idolatry and paganism and all of these different things that were against God. And if you dare buck the system that she laid down, notice, it wasn't so much of her husband operating, but she's in the background actually operating with her influence over her husband. And so I believe that what they were involved in essentially was a toxic relationship. It was toxic because everything associated with Jezebel ended up turning to something that was spiritually dysfunctional. It was spiritually dysfunctional because here it is, the king of Israel was supposed to represent the highest stature in the land, that God actually set up monarchy for the sole purpose of leading his people in his statutes, in his judgments, in his way, in his will. But for some reason, the influence of Jezebel was such toxicity perverted this entire perspective. It perverted religiosity, even to the point where Elijah, the prophet during this time, he had a showdown with her prophets, and he called down fire from heaven and burned up her prophets. And in her fury, she had such a negative and evil influence that even after this showdown, Elijah retreated to the hills because it was so toxic spiritually, causing all the people under this leadership to fall into this way of thinking. Now, it just so happened that Elijah was looking for other people who was just like him, who still trust and believe in the Lord. Come to find out, there was some people there. But this toxicity will cause you to hide your spirituality. Watch this. You're in a relationship with somebody. It's so toxic to you. You're trying to actually, you know, love them, and you're trying to be this nurturer and supporter because you're probably a codependent, or maybe even you're a person that just really loves the way you do. Christians are perfect targets for narcissists. I'll say that again. Christians are perfect targets for narcissists because essentially we are empaths. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I know we don't have much time to go deep into this. We're going to go deeper, even deeper next week. The next time we have our show. So you need to find out when that is. It's the first Thursday. The first and third Thursday at 6:30, we're going to continue on this subject. You need to call your girlfriend that's involved in that toxic relationship, and you need to tell her to tune into this show. That's what needs to happen. So let's start describing some of these toxic things about these persons. First of all, narcissists tend to lie all the time, quite a bit even. And their lies are not just simple lies. Their lies are very hurtful to other people. They're designed to hurt. And then you would think that the narcissist is the type of person that would express, let me back up out of that statement. You would think a normal person would have some sense of remorse for the hurt that they caused because of the lies or whatever things they've done, but the narcissist is impaired emotionally. They don't really have that ability to feel that sense of remorse because it's something that is not happening to them. Usually the times when a narcissist feels a sense of remorse is when there's something that they can't control. In my marriage, I made some decisions that she could not control. So she decided to leave me. Well, amen. What she didn't know is she decided to bless me. God, through her decision to leave me, blessed me and to elevate me to a place where I am now. And it's till we actually begin to let go of some of these toxic, narcissistic personalities and relationships that we actually find that freedom to escape from that spiritual dysfunction. Let's look at Jezebel. Jezebel had such a hold on Ahab that she caused him to continually do the wrong thing, brought the judgment of God against the whole house of Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel was eventually killed under the prophecy of God because of their total disobedience. There's something in your life that if it's connected to a narcissist is continually killing you, killing us emotionally. And these people can be different kinds of people. It doesn't have to be a relationship that you're in as far as a romantic relationship. It could be the relationship with your family, with your friends. Another thing is narcissists have a tendency to look at themselves in grandeur. They have delusions of grandeur, thinking themselves to be much greater or much more important, or esteeming themselves over other people. They think they're better than other people. They feel entitled to the different things that you bring to their lives. If you give them gifts, they feel entitled to it. Here's some other things that happens with a narcissist. If you notice, Ahab, he's supposed to be the king. The first thing he does is go back to his wife and complain. The Bible suggests from this context that Jezebel was Ahab's source. She was the source. And that's essentially what the narcissists want to do. Cut you off from every other relationship while they maintain theirs. want to cut you off so that you don't have a sense of support. They don't want you to have friends to actually speak into your life, or they don't want you to get too close to your pastor or too close to other people who's going to give you sound counsel to help you think or see outside of the box. So if they become your everything, then essentially, then you don't need nobody else, and that allows them to continually manipulate you. Toxic relationships, dealing with narcissism. Narcissists also tend to not take responsibility for the things that they do. Jezebel didn't see anything wrong with the different things that she did. She didn't see nothing wrong with setting Naboth up to be killed for his vineyard. She didn't see anything wrong with perverting the prophets, amen, and setting up paganism and continuously having this system of idolatry. She didn't see anything wrong with that. And essentially what a narcissist will also do is blame you. It's called blame shifting for the things that they've done. So you confront them because they lied or because they've done something hurtful to you. One is they don't feel that sense of remorse like a regular person will because they're not being hurt. You're being hurt. So they may say, I'm sorry, but truly not mean it. But the reality is they're in a position where they can't actually feel that sense of emotion like a normal person would. So they don't take responsibility for their actions, or they blame them on you. You know, if you hadn't done this, then I would not have done that. The reason why I cheated is because you did this, or you made me feel this way. Did you see what you've done? They also make you think that you're crazy when they come and they tell their lies on you or to you. This could not have happened, or what, you know, it's a lot of different things that they cause you to go through and question yourself once their lies are exposed. Friend, there's nothing more frustrating than knowing the absolute truth, confronting somebody about that, the facts, the details of it, and they make you feel like you're crazy. I had a situation where I felt like, my ex was continually talking about all of her friends negatively, every single friend that she had. She had friends that she was close to that, you know, she talked about, you know, her ex, her friend's ex-husband that had one leg beat on her. She talked about, you know, some of her other friends that was involved in abusive relationships and made fun of them. She talked about how they shouldn't have been getting married, but they were getting married. And it was so many different things. And so I confronted her, like, why do you do this? Why do you speak so negatively about your friends? And she said, you know what, if it wasn't for the fact that you tell me that I should be open and honest with you, you tell me, so that's the reason why I do that. No, I don't cause you to speak negatively about someone. You're trying to blame your poor behavior on me. How about instead, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you uplift them? You know, why don't you, your friend that you dance with, why don't you quit criticizing about, you know, how much you think she's unfaithful in her marriage? And why don't you have a heart-to-heart conversation with her as a Christian and try to uplift her? But instead, it's like we spread, or narcissists tend to spread poison because they have these different levels of operating, these different identities. Oh, my goodness. Imagine who Jezebel had to be to convince people to start following paganistic ways. Imagine how much charisma she had to exhort when she was causing people to fall away from God, when she was causing the idols to be lifted up, when she was causing the people to be influenced to kick the God's prophets out. Imagine the influence and charisma that she had. Imagine how approachable she had to be in order to begin to manipulate and cause a different agenda to come about. I wish that we can understand the spiritual toxicity and spiritual dysfunction that comes along with this narcissistic personality. Listen, I know I didn't have much time to talk about that this week, but I really want to dig in a little bit further, so I'm going to go with Toxic Relationships Part 3. and we're going to actually continue talking about narcissism as a subtopic. There's other traits about narcissism that I want to talk to you about. I want you to be able to see them as you experience them. And so, listen, we're going to deal with this thing straightforward. You got any ideas, reach out to me. You got some concerns, some feedback, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. This has been another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. As always, I love you all in Christ, and God bless.